Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's relationships. Relationships, it's hard. It's hard. And relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. And we're here every Saturday morning talking about relationships. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. Our special guest this morning is Darwin Griffin, The Measure of a Man. Before we bring him up, we want to talk about relationships, issues from a male perspective. But he is from Detroit, and he truly is born to relationships from a male perspective because we need to talk about that more and more. He's out of Detroit. His name is Darwin Griffin, and he has a Facebook page called The Measure of a Man, and that's what we need now, men who are men, men who are men, men who have the man card. Why are we walking around with no man card? Women want a man, M-A-N. They want a man. A man is still the epitome of life. Being a man means something. It could trump all kinds of things if you have the man card in your back pocket. It doesn't have anything to do with the degree or how much money a woman is making. What it talks about is the man card. They want to make sure that you have the man card. So what you do is when you meet a man, does he have the man card? We're going to talk about the measure of a man this morning. The measure of a man. That is what's really, really important this morning. The measure of a man. We want to make sure that you understand what the man card is and what it is to have the man card. This is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of BeThereMagazine.com. We're waiting for him to call in. Make sure that you get on board. The number here is 347-637-3051. That's the number here on Saturday morning, 347-637-3051. Marilyn, are you on the air?
Good morning, Russell. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. And we always have Marilyn Bland here because she is insight from a woman, boy. She knows what it is to talk about relationships from a woman perspective. But what it is in this town is hard. Relationships are hard, but it's harder if you don't have the information. I'm telling you, if you don't have the information, it's really, really unbelievable. I went to D.C. last night to a friend of mine's birthday celebration, and D.C. is changing. It's changing like crazy. People are walking around with their holding hands, there's love all in the air, the spring is out, and it's really an opportunity to come and sit outside, have dinner, or have some kind of cocktail or whatever. You're sitting out, whole lot of outdoor dining. Do you think it's romantic, Marilyn, to dine outdoors on the sidewalk? Is that a romantic thing for a man?
I do. Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. And as the weather changes, as you state, especially when the sun is shining and having the opportunity to sit outside, it does. It really adds to it. Nature always brings another aspect, even to the extent if the sun is shining, as long as I have an umbrella, I'll still sit out there as opposed to sitting inside. So it really does. And then at night, nothing beats sitting outside for me. Let me preface that with saying, as long as they're not smoking out there, then, that's the atmosphere that I prefer.
A lot of women, sometimes I met some ladies who don't put me outside with I want to sit inside. I don't want the bugs. I don't want the element of the air. But it is romantic to have a cool dinner outside of the restaurant on the outside. It is kind of refreshing and cool. It truly is. We got Darwin on the air. Darwin, you on the air? Go ahead.
Yes, I am. How are you? Good morning.
First of all, good morning. I want to thank you for being on the air with us. Say hello to Marilyn.
Marilyn, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Darwin, and it's great having you here with us.
Thank you for having me too. All the way from Detroit.
First off, he's all the way from Detroit. But first off, Darwin, tell us a little bit about your background, what you're doing, how you got started with this.
Well, primarily, Russell, what happened was that a couple of people had asked me to to what did I think about relationships and what did I think about males and females as to how they could better interact with each other. And for myself, it was a challenge that two young ladies talked to me and they said, hey, what do you think? So I went and I kind of took the challenge and I said, well, let me kind of give a male perspective about some things. So a person approached me from a TV show to ask me would I co-host the show. And I did that for 2 years talking about relationships. I also was asked to be a contributor for a newspaper. So I wrote a column called Measure of a Man. And then I also am writing a book titled Measure of a Man, and I have a Facebook page called Measure of a Man that talks about relationships, not just with males and females, but also talks about the male and female relationships when it comes to each other and with God. So I try and bring things more on a spiritual nature, because in order to get to a male or female, you have to come to God. And that's one of the things that I try and say, a family that prays together stays together. And most times people don't really realize the males have the support when it comes to the female. And I tell people the thing is that you can expect men to be the king, but they need the queens to be able to go and manage the household as well as their kingdom. And no king is as strong as the female that's ruling alongside with them in the household, the business, or in other affairs. So I really try and promote equality in certain aspects to the relationship, because I'm still kind of old school. I like to see women. I like to open the doors. I like to seat women, you know, at the chair, you know, in the chairs, at the tables first. I get up respecting elders. If I'm getting up from the table, when a woman gets up to go to the restroom or do something else, I'm getting up first. And the other thing I like to do, too, when it comes to women is to let them know how much they're appreciated, how much they're loved, how much they're able to go and have a man to be a man, to be a real man. And there's things that they can do with women and men that a lot of men don't really think about. So I really try and educate both males how men can be and how men, how they should be.
That's an excellent point, man. Treat a woman like a lady. Don't get up from the table. Back in the day, if a woman came to water table, all the men got up. They got up. And they sat back down when she sat down. Open the door for the woman. Pull out the chair for the woman. Talk about this aspect of kissing the woman on the forehead.
Well, the one thing that I see is that, you know, somebody had said to me, Darwin, that they had a bad dream. And I was telling them that a person that I was married to at one point, she had woke up one morning and she was shaking, shivering because she had a bad dream. And I knew about a little problem that she had days before. So I figured that whatever this was that was bothering her was still troubling her even in her sleep. And so when she woke up, she was sweating, she was shivering, she was shaking. And what I did was I went and I held her and I kissed her on the forehead. And like I was, you know, and she opened her eyes and she looked at me. And I said to her that this is God's way through me to give you that covering of protection. And I just held her back again. And she looked and she smiled at me. And a lot of times, when you kiss a woman on the forehead, that's a mark of protection. That kind of gives them that little, you know, the feeling of security that it's in the head, it goes into the mind, and it empowers the entire body. And it sends a warmth inside that woman that radiates throughout her soul to make her say, hey, I really feel protected. I really feel comforted. And I really feel assured, and a lot of the fear that they may have is alleviated.
Excellent. Now, do you think women still like to be kissed on the back of the hand? If you meet a lady and you take her hand and kiss on the back of the hand, you think that's something a lady still like to do or like to receive in today's society, 2016?
Russell, I truly do. I mean, any time that I come in contact with women, that if somebody is introducing me to a woman, that's the first thing I do. I grab her hand, and I look at her in the eye, and then I look down at her hand, and I bring her hand up to my mouth, and I'll kiss it. And I especially do that when it comes to singers. You know, I had a young lady the other day that I'm working with. She's 94 years young. And when I met her for the first time, that's the first thing I did. And the smile, it just radiated throughout her whole face when I did that. Because like she said, Darwin, that's a lost art. You don't see men doing that. And she really appreciated that. And then the other part that was interesting, sometimes I go and I do keynote speeches at a lot of different schools, the adult ed as well as the high school, and I meet a lot of parents. And a lot of the parents, when I meet them after I get up and complete my speech, and I kiss the mothers or I kiss the grandmothers, and in some cases I may even kiss some of the students on the hand, you know, on the back of the hand. And it's so funny because some of the boys that were there, some of the young men that were there that were, you know, listening to my speech, they saw me do that with their mothers or their grandmothers or even their sisters. And they were really like, wow, I didn't know people do that still. And so it's a matter of you can educate people in ways that they really didn't even know that they're being educated. You know, and then it's like, where did I see that happen at? And why am I doing this? Well, because you saw somebody else doing that. And I think that women are still appreciating those things. They like the car doors to be open for them. They like to be the chairs to be pulled out. And they like to be called by their name. You know, and that's the one thing that also is those terms of endearment that people use. But I call people by their name. I'll say Mr. Price. Or Marilyn, I would say your last name. You know, so those things are things that are lost art rather than they like, say, baby, bae, sweetheart, honey. You know, those are terms of endearment once you get to know someone. But, like, back in the day when I was growing up, people would use that term, my old lady. I'm not a fan of that. You know, that's never been me. And my old man. I'm not really responding as much to that as opposed to my mother gave me a name, and that's what I'll use, or that's what I would want people to use, rather than say my old man or my, you know, that guy. So I say the same thing, and I don't use those terms when I even talk to women. I would never say that's my old lady over there. I would say that's my lady, or that's my wife, or that's my girlfriend. But not, that's my old lady. Especially it tickles me when I hear people in their 20s calling one of their contemporaries an old lady.
Excellent point. Excellent point. The measure of a man. A couple of things you said was very, very profound. People do use the terminology, my old lady. And it does take away from the actual essence of her being your lady. It's more appropriate to say, this is my wife, or this is my significant other, or this is my lady. I use the terminology now. If I introduce my lady to someone, I would say, this is my lady, my new heartbeat, or my heartbeat, you know, whatever you want to say. You know, this is my heartbeat. This is someone who really, you know, stimulates me every day. The reason I'm alive, I'm breathing because of my heart is pumping blood, but this is really my heartbeat. And it sort of makes it feel even special. But also, I want to bring Marilyn in for a minute. What do you think about a man kissing the back of your hand in 2016?
Well, I haven't had that happen, so I wouldn't know. but no, seriously, as I was listening to Darwin, I have a real appreciation. It's almost refreshing to hear a man's perspective, because as you know, Russell, when we talk, each time we talk about, you know, I think both of us are basically old school also, but I think that's really what's lacking today. But as I was sitting here listening, I could follow everything that was being said, and it's just wonderful. And then when you can bring it to fruition, or you can go there and you can set the example and you get the response, that says something too. Like I said, the children were astonished. They were amazed. But it did something to them, and that's something they will always remember. But again, you have to, they have to have examples, someone to look up to, and they have to see the persistence of it. Because I was really moved when you mentioned opening the doors, because what I find now is I've been going into a building. I'm walking into a building. There's a man coming, and I might be a few steps ahead of him, and he will wait for me to open the door, or he will hesitate to open the door. And each time it does something to me. I mean, I recognize it. I don't let it bother me per se, but I guess I'm conscious of it because my expectation would be if, hey, if we're both coming and, you know, we're side by side, at least extend your hand and open the door. But, you know, and why is that? That's something I would like to know. Dart, why is that nowadays that just in general that men refuse to open the door? They hesitate, I should say, it would be a better term. Why do they hesitate in opening a door for a lady?
Well, you know, Marilyn, it's so interesting that you bring that point up because it's funny. I was walking a young lady to go to my car, and she's going to the passenger side door, and I'm trying to open the door for her, and she's still reaching for the handle to open the door herself. And the same thing when we were in the car, that instead of her waiting for me to get out the car and come around to the passenger side door to open the door, she was opening the door herself. And I was saying, hold it, hold it. There's a gentleman in the car. And I think some people are still kind of thinking, well, they're so acclimated now to doing it themselves. There's that sense of independence. And then when you're in the car and you're sitting in the car and waiting for that man to get out the driver's side to come around to the passenger side to open the door, they're sitting there waiting, and he's almost in the building, and then he turns around and looks back, and she's still sitting in the car, and it's like, hold it, I thought you were going to come around and open the door for me. Oh, I didn't know that you wanted me to. And the same thing with going into a building, Marilyn, like when you were saying, if I'm walking into a building and I see a woman that may be, oh, goodness knows how many yards behind me, I'm going to stand there and keep the door open until she gets to the door. And it was so funny because I said this to a woman the other day, you don't have to rush, because she was thinking that I was getting tired of just holding the door open for her. But I think because a lot of women today are thinking that men aren't going to do it, but I think that we as men have to show women, we have to kind of, it's almost like we're kind of re-educating women on the art of being a gentleman. So regardless of whether or not it's a female, I can still hold the door for some men, especially senior men. If I see somebody, you know, that's a senior with a cane or a walker, I'm holding the door and leaving, and he's even surprised to see me still holding the door open for him. So like I tell people, we have to kind of re-educate the culture so that people will start doing what was done before to still do it today.
Excellent point. Well, excellent point. This is the measure of a man. Before we go on the break, I want to tell you a little story about being a measure of a man, about this open the doors and situations. It's true, into 2016, we are not taking time to be a gentleman or be a measure of a man. I was at a gas station, and I pull up, and there's a lady. Young lady, well, she wasn't young, but she was an attractive lady standing there pumping the gas. She was taking the nozzle off to put in the gas tank, and there was a gentleman sitting in the car. I walked over to her and I said, let me pump your gas. I said, this doesn't make sense for you to have to pump this gas. The gentleman in the car saw me talking to her and grabbed the nozzle from her hand. He gets irate, comes out of the car. What are you doing talking to my lady? First off, sir, I ain't talking to her. I'm assisting her. And you're sitting in the car watching her pump gas. Believe me, if she doesn't say anything to you, she's feeling it every time that the little numbers are going up, 1 gallon, 2 gallon, every time it goes up, you're losing some kind of leverage in your relationship because she knows that you are lacking on the man card side. And then he realized that I was telling the truth. and then he wanted to grab the nozzle out of my hand. But why would a woman sit there and let a man pump gas when he's in the car? Give me that just scenario, darling, or Marilyn.
Well, Marilyn, I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I personally would not do it unless the man was unable to do it. Now, in a situation, if the man was injured in some way and he could not do it, then sure, I would do it. But, yes, if I'm riding with a man, whether it be my husband, my friend, or whatever, and we're going to get gas, I would expect him to the gas. That would be an expectation that I would have.
And see, just like what Marilyn is saying, I'm the same way because, you know, the thing is that I don't want a woman to be out there pumping the gas. Just like if I see somebody out there that's with their hood up in the gas station trying to add oil to their car. I did this the other day. I went to the auto parts place and I saw a lady that had bought something before I did, and she goes and she takes the purchase out and she has the hood up in her car. And she's got a funnel, and so I know that she's about to add some kind of fluid to her car. So that's what I did. Walked over there to her and asked her could I assist her, you know, with doing that. So back to what you were saying, Russell, about being a gentleman, there's some things that you see that it's just second nature to me, you know, to just want to do that. If I see a person on the side of the road that maybe, you know, they maybe have a flat tire or something, trying to change a tire. I don't want a woman to be out there trying to change a tire. So pumping gas, adding oil or antifreeze or something to the vehicle, that's one of the things that I think that there's a lost art that I think we need to start doing back again. But then in some cases too, like you said, Russell, about the gentleman that came out and was upset because you're trying to pump his lady's gas, that's why sometimes people are a little reticent about doing those things because they're afraid of the backlash or the repercussions that may come about it if somebody is offended because you're showing them up. And sometimes there's times that you know, common sense has to take place, you know, where you ask. And then in most cases, like with a woman pumping the gas, if there's a man in the car, I may ask her, would she like me to? And then chances are she's going to probably look at the man or the man is going to come and say, he'll do it. And then I just back up and say, fine, let you go ahead on and do it. Rather than to try and show him up and start pumping it, I'd rather have the man be educated to say, well, if somebody else is going to come up and ask me to pump the gas or ask my lady to pump the gas, I better get out there and get on my man car and I better do what I need to do before she realizes that there's somebody else that's out here that's more of a gentleman than what I am.
Well, you know, one of the most disheartening things that I have seen is when a woman has asked the man. I mean, I've seen several situations where a woman's car might be broken down or needed a jump, and I've witnessed this. You know, she would ask the gentleman walking by, you know, do you have cables? He would say no and keep walking, or like he's being irritated. And I challenge people to just observe. I mean, you would be surprised if you spent a day just sitting around observing the interaction between people. But a lot of men nowadays, and these are things that I've just seen in passing or even experienced, but, you know, you ask for the help because you need the help, and they will still pass you by, or they will have a certain attitude about them. And even as a woman sometimes, I mean, women need to be considerate too. For instance, if you are married and you're right there with your husband and a woman is out there, like you said, with a flat tire, in the parking lot, and this woman asks your husband, if you all the only ones around, or the only ones, the first ones to come by, and she said, hey, will you help me? And she sees you standing there as his wife. You should not be offended by that because...
Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, that happens. That's the man who's truly lost his man card. I can't visualize a man seeing a woman in distress or a woman asking for help, whether he's married, whether he's not married, whether his lady's with him, whatever. She's going to appreciate him even helping another woman in that kind of
situation.
That's
what I was
going to
say. But it happens, Russell. That's the thing.
Well,
that's the thing. It happens.
Well, that's sad for a man. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about no means no. When a woman woman says no, it means no. We're going to come back with a measure of a man with God. When your woman loves a man, he has to be a man. You cannot be less than a man in the presence of your woman, your wife, your significant other. When a lady enters the room, a man card comes out automatically. He realized there's a lady in the building. There's a lady in the room. Let me be on my man behavior. You can't not have your man card in hand when it comes to a lady or a woman. You should be what they call considerate, understanding, appreciative, loving. Everything that you need to be, you should be in the presence of your woman. And even if she's not in your presence, hold on to your man card. Darwin, touch upon this aspect of no means no.
Well, Russell, the thing is that a lot of times when a woman tells a man no, that they don't want them to do something, that means no. That doesn't mean maybe. That doesn't mean next time. Or it doesn't mean, well, give me 5 minutes. That means no right there. And it doesn't mean there's a lot of discussion. It just means no. And that's the one thing that I think that gets a lot of men in trouble, is they think that the woman may be just playing with him or she's teasing him. And they're not really listening to what the woman is saying. There's a difference between listening and hearing. If a woman tells a man no, she doesn't want him to do something, then that's it. It's no. And then not to proceed, not to do anything, not to take any additional action, you know, to that. The same thing, just like when you're talking about if you ask a woman, is she all right? And if a woman says, no, I'm not, listen to her, because she's saying, no, she's not all right. Now, just don't walk off and go start playing video games or go call up one of your friends and say, come on, man, let's go do something else. And the same thing when it comes down to if she says, no, don't touch her or leave her alone, you have to be able to really kind of know the woman to know exactly when she says no, it means no. In some cases, if you've been with a woman for a while and you've had that experience and she says to you later, well, I really wish that you had kept on, that may be a little different. But when you meet someone, if a woman tells you no, and you don't really know that woman, no means no, period.
I agree with you 100%. I'm the type of man, if you say no, then no means no. I don't push no envelopes. I don't want to push envelopes. I want to make sure that you want me. What drives me is that you want me. That's the aphrodisiac for me. If you say no, then no means no. I could never understand when I was a police officer and I get a call for some woman being assaulted or raped. What type of man could drive on that kind of fuel to violate a woman to that degree when she don't want the man or even know the man? What type of man is that? What type of man has that in his DNA that he could do that? That's why it's important to listen to women. Listen to your lady. If she said something or she tells you something, then listen. People tell you who they are. They tell you what they want. They show what they need. If your woman is saying to you, this is what I need, this is what I don't like, if she comes, you come in the house and she's got that look on her face or she's called, I always tell the one of the litmus tests is that if a woman starts calling you by your last name, there's something in the milk ain't clean. If she ain't saying to you, honey, you know, call, your name is Robert Brown, and you come in the house and she say, "Brown, get the trash out." You, when they call you on the left hand, you dead as you deceive it. You know, you give us some clues. Well, matter of fact, we're gonna come back with the closing statements, because people need to know this about being a man, and that's why it's so important that you have the show today. That is, you're a man. People don't, they want relationships, they want to be in relationships, they want to be married, they want to get a woman, but somehow they don't know how to get a woman, and they mess around here and lose themselves. But we'll be right back. Give us the closing statements. Marilyn, you can go first. Give us your closing statements. We want to have Darwin close this out. It's a pleasure having you on this Newsmaker Live, Darwin. But what you're doing is so important, and I'm coming to Detroit, man. We're going to come to Detroit, man, to make sure that we take the measure of a man on the road. But go ahead on, go first, Marilyn. Give us the closing statement.
I just want to say to Darwin that I really appreciate his being here with us this morning and sharing with us, because it's right in line with what we talk about all the time, Russell, those basic principles. And I see that in a lot of things in life. Basic principles do not change no matter what. And no matter how long we live, if we were to have the same discussion 50 years from now, the things that Darwin talked about are still going to be important because they are basic. And it's just like communication. When you get those basics down, you can always build on that. But if you don't have the basics, you really don't have anything to build on. So I'm really excited anytime, especially when I hear a man talking about this, because that is what is needed. We need men to understand and understand affection in a relationship. And, Darwin, one thing we've talked about on the show, and hopefully we can discuss it in the future, is that relationships go through phases. And that the man in a relationship, the man should be all into the woman, 100% the woman, and the woman should be 100% of the man. And if they are focused in that way, they can't help but grow. It can't help but go up. But then we might need some help in getting to that point. So to sum it all up, I appreciate your being here, and I think it's something that we really need to focus on, and we need to track the results. We need to get to the point with the measure of a man. We need to start getting feedback from the community. I mean, you're out there. I think it would be wise if we could go back and talk to some of these young men or even the young women and just follow it over a period of time and see what difference it makes. So, again, I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you being here.
Well, I truly just want to say, you know, what I'd like for people to do, if they're interested in hearing more or seeing more of what I talk about or what I write about, is that they go on Facebook and go into Measure of a Man, and, you know, they'll see a lot of the blogs, a lot of the blurbs, a lot of the things that I say. One thing that I just want to say real quick is that there's a changing of the guard. And when I say that there's more young people that's coming up today that we have to guard the change. We have to protect the young men and women today and make certain that that's our legacy. So we have to educate them. We have to impart wisdom, impart knowledge to them, so that when they have children, they in turn can then go and impart that same wisdom and knowledge that our parents imparted on us. And, you know, one other thing I just want to say, too, when it comes down to males, is that we have a lot of men that father children in this world. But we got to find and educate more men to be dads, to stay in these children's world, rather than just to bring them into the world. They've got to stay there, and we have to cultivate the opportunity in our young men to be fathers as well as dads, to be in their children's lives. So that's one of the things that, you know, I appreciate you both having me on the show, Marilyn and Russell. And if I'm invited to come back again, I would love to go and expound more about the dads out here and to make certain that, as you're saying too, Marilyn, there's a complement that males and females have in a relationship. And they have to complement each other with an E, not with the I, but with an E, and be together, because if they're together in unison, it's hard to really break that bond that exists. But as you're saying, there has to be the foundation that has to be built in a relationship before that bond is shored up. So in closing, I'll just say, really, I greatly appreciate having an opportunity to go and expound about the measure of a man. I'd like to see more godly men out here in the world. But in order to attract a godly woman, then, you have to be a godly man. So you have to go and adhere to biblical principles. And you have to go and make certain that you go to church with your women. You can't just go and let the women go to church on Sunday. Tomorrow is Easter. Happy Easter, both of you. You know, happy Resurrection Day. And
thank you.
I hope that there are more men in church tomorrow rather than just to go just to see the outfits that the people are going to be wearing, but to actually get the food that the pastor or the minister or the doctor or the preacher is going to be disseminating out. And I think more women need to take their men, not the boys, their sons to church, but take their men to church.
Excellent point, excellent point. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on our Newsmaker Relationship Live today, because what you're saying is so profound. Church is a nucleus for relationships. If your woman is churchly, godly, institutionalized with this church, and you don't go, you are leaving your woman unattended among men who are godly, and you will lose your woman in church. You can lose your woman in church, not only through the word from the preacher, but somebody in the pew will get your woman, because you're basically leaving her unattended spiritually, and you can't do that. You have to be there with her. You have to pray together, stay together, hold that hymn book open together, sing together, walk out to church, go to communion together. All that stuff gets you closer to the relationship of being one. If your husband is not going to church and your wife is going to church, the only thing will maybe that will even put the shield up is that you have the bond of marriage through God, and maybe they can't infiltrate it. However, it can still get infiltrated because you're not there. Never leave your woman unattended at church. Be there with her. Easter Sunday, don't just go on Easter Sunday. Go every chance you get. This has been a serious, serious show today. I want to thank you again, Darwin. We're going to hear more from us, and we're going to be hearing more from you, because people want in life relationship information. Information is power. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. This is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine. I'm the hardest, smartest working man in marketing and relationship talk every Saturday morning right here with Marilyn Bland, Insight from a Woman, Love and Happiness. See you next Saturday.
Wait a minute, something goes wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, happens when you really feel good about somebody. Nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and
every Saturday morning from 10 to 10:30, today's relationship talk, love and happiness. Word 347-637-3051. Tune in. We'll see you next Saturday. Love and happiness.